the Good Shepherd and the Loving Father at one time or another we all stray from the side of our Shepherd, Jesus, and wander off the path along which he is leading us all. We, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned, every one, to his own way, Isaiah 53:6. We get caught up in our own plans and pursue our own interests. We act on our impulses and make important decisions with scarcely a thought or prayer about whether that's what Jesus would want us to do. Worse yet, we do things that we know are wrong and contrary to God's law of love and consideration for others, or in disobedience to the instruction in His Word. All of these distance us from our Shepherd and Guide. As our Shepherd, Jesus trains us in the way we should go. He instructs us through His Word and through the voice of His Spirit in our hearts as to what is right and what is wrong. Then He says to us what He said to His first followers, "If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them," John 13:17. If we believe and take heed to what He tells us, we have His blessing. But when we repeatedly ignore His instruction, and we are unloving in word or deed towards Him or others, sooner or later He lets us suffer the consequences in the form of problems or afflictions. He does this to teach us right from wrong, and to keep us close to Him, listening to Him, and moving in the right direction. It hurts Him to see us struggle or fall, but as our loving Shepherd He is duty-bound to help us learn and grow. Sometimes we give Him no choice through our wrongdoing. God is above all a God of love. He loves us dearly as a father loves his children. But, like any good father, he also disciplines his children for their own good when they willfully do wrong. Whom the Lord loves he chastens, the Bible tells us, for what son is there whom a father does not chasten? Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful, nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it, Hebrews 12:6-7, 11. But whatever God does, he does in love. We may sometimes have to suffer the consequences of our actions when they are contrary to His golden rule of loving Him and others, but even then, He doesn't hold it against us. He knows we're just human. When we turn to Him, He is quick to forgive and forget and lovingly encourage and comfort us despite our failings and mistakes. He promises, "I will forgive their iniquity error, and their sin I will remember no more," Jeremiah 31:34. God's spankings are sometimes hard to take, but they're a token of His love, His intolerable compliment, and are good for us if by them we learn our lesson, and are thus brought into harmony and happiness with Him. D.B.B. He chastens us for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. See Hebrews 12:10. In other words, through it He cleanses us, He purges us from the sins and impurities in our own hearts that cause all the trouble, and we're made clean. D.B.B. Getting back on track. If you feel your present problems are the result of having strayed from your Shepherd's side, or having disobeyed your Heavenly Father, you don't need to feel condemned. Four simple steps will set things straight. 1. Admit your error to Him, to thank Him for loving you enough to correct you. 3. Determine in your heart to do better, and 4. Ask for His help. God's Word promises, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us as far as the east is from the west. So far has He removed our transgressions from us as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him, for He knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. 1 John 1:9, Psalm 103:12, 14 and IV. He is only interested in helping us learn and improve. His motive is to make us wiser and more dependent on Him. Eventually we wise up and learn that our Father knows best, and that we'll be happiest if we obey Him, and not rebel or run away when He needs to teach us something. God uses troubles to teach us to do better, but that's not the only reason for troubles. Every time you suffer hard times, heartbreak, sickness, or injury, you don't need to worry that you've done something terribly wrong that has displeased God. There are many other reasons for tests and trials. If He is trying to get us to change in some area of our lives, we usually know what that is pretty quick. In fact, long before it gets to that point, He has usually been trying to give us warning nudges, and we just haven't heeded them. If you don't know why you're having a certain problem, this is the time to ask Him, not in a resentful, doubting manner, but in a humble, trusting one. Tell Him your questions, your worries, your fears, then be quiet and listen. The voice of His Spirit will speak to your heart, and He will show you why He has allowed these things. He may not tell you immediately or help you understand fully, and that in itself can be a test of faith. It tests you to see how much you will love and trust the Lord and thank Him for all He sends your way, which you know will eventually work together for good, even if He doesn't explain the reasons for some of it. But whether He tells you now or not, Jesus will always encourage and uplift your spirit when you come to Him. He will mend your broken heart if you give Him all the pieces. If you would like to know more about hearing from heaven and how to receive personal words of strength, encouragement, and instruction directly from Jesus Himself, the book Hearing from Heaven in the Get Activated series will be a great help to you. In sickness, let me not so much say, "Am I getting better of my pain?" as, "Am I getting better for it?" William Shakespeare. Our troubles become double trouble when we misinterpret them. The weight of a thing is determined by our perception of it. If we look at our problems as punishment from an offended God, they enslave us. But if we consider them the Lord's cleaning and polishing agents to beautify His jewels us, we can patiently wait for the happy ending. Adapted from J.H. Chowett. The vain regrets of yesterday have vanished through God's pardoning grace, the guilty fear has passed away, and joy has come to take its place. When through life's darkened maze I go and troubles overwhelm my soul, oh, grant me, Lord, the grace to know that You are always in control. The pain of facing up to truth and saying, "I am wrong," is soothed by Christ's redeeming love, which fills the heart with song. The potter knows best. Lord, You are our Father. We are the clay, and You our potter, and we are all the work of Your hand, Isaiah 64:8. Here and in several other passages in the Bible, the Lord is likened to a potter, and us to the clay in His hands, clay which He wants to form into a vessel that is fit for His use, 2 Timothy 2:21. The potter begins by taking a hunk of clay and placing it on his potter's wheel. As the wheel turns the clay, he molds and fashions it into what he hopes will be a beautiful vessel. All the while, the clay must move and yield to the movements of the potter's hand. It takes time. Sometimes the potter discovers an imperfection, a lump, or a mar. When that happens, he will crush the vessel he's been working on, add a little water to the clay to soften it again, knead it until it's nice and soft and malleable, and then remake it into a new and better vessel. At first it probably doesn't seem like a very good thing to that vessel when its maker suddenly starts mashing and smashing and crushing and remaking it, but in the long run it becomes a better vessel for that. And just when the vessel thinks the worst is behind, into the white-hot kiln it goes to harden it, but it becomes a stronger vessel for it. The vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. "Can I not do with you as this potter?" says the Lord. "Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand." Jeremiah 18:4-6. Does the clay have any right to question the potter's judgment? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, "Why have you made me like this?" Does not the potter have power over the clay? Romans 9:20-21. Remember, everything that God does, He does in love. He is making you into a beautiful vessel, uniquely special to Him. He is making you into a useful vessel to bear the water of His love that He wants to pour through you to refresh others. You're in the best of hands. Trust Him. God only uses broken men and women, no others will do. The others are too self-confident. God has to break them, melt them, and mold them again in the hands of the potter to make them a better vessel. But He won't force it. The breaking depends upon you and your yieldedness and willingness to be made willing to go anywhere, anytime, and do anything, for anybody, and be nobody, to please Him and help others. D.B.B. Have Thine own way, Lord, have Thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me, and make me after Thy will, while I am waiting, yielded, and still. Adelaide A. Pollard. Spiritual warfare. The Bible explains that we are engaged in a war of the worlds, a spiritual battle of good against evil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Ephesians 6:12 KJV. Once we have received Jesus as our Savior, we don't have to worry about or fear Satan's power, because we are protected by the power of the Holy Spirit, which is far greater. The Lord's protection is just like a force field around us, and the devil cannot penetrate it. We are overshadowed, we are enveloped. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. 1 John 4:4. The devil's aim is to hinder God's children in any way he can, but he has no power over us because we are the Lord's. Satan cannot so much as touch us without God's permission, which God only gives when he has a reason and knows it will have a good result. But while the devil has no direct power over us physically, he can try to influence our thoughts, attitudes, and decisions. He will mend your broken heart if you give him all the pieces. If you would like to know more about hearing from heaven and how to receive personal words of strength, encouragement, and instruction directly from Jesus himself, the book Hearing from Heaven in the Get Activated series will be a great help to you. In sickness, let me not so much say, "Am I getting better of my pain?" as, "Am I getting better for it?" William Shakespeare. Our troubles become double trouble when we misinterpret them. The weight of a thing is determined by our perception of it. If we look at our problems as punishment from an offended God, they enslave us. But if we consider them the Lord's cleaning and polishing agents to beautify his jewels us, we don't need to fear the devil, but we do need to be on our guard. In order to not be outwitted, we should not be ignorant of his devices. Schemes 2 Corinthians 2:11. To be forewarned is to be forearmed. The devil is clever and cunning. If he were to always use obvious methods and come around with horns and a pitchfork, we would instantly recognize his attacks. So instead, he shrewdly twists the truth. For example, you or someone you love is sick or has had an accident and you blame yourself. You feel that maybe if you had done things differently, the whole thing might never have happened. Such feelings are only natural. God may also be trying to teach you a lesson in order to help you avoid similar problems in the future. But if once you've prayed for the Lord's forgiveness and to learn what you need to, you still suffer from overwhelming feelings of guilt and remorse, this is the devil's doing. If you've made a mistake, the devil tries to continually remind you of it and magnify it until you lose all hope and faith in God's love. His goal is to convince you that God can't forgive you, others can't forgive you, you can't undo the damage, so you might as well quit. Take a ride on that train of thought, and the devil has won. Discouragement and condemnation are occupational hazards for a Christian. The devil would like nothing better than to get us to take our eyes off of God and his promises. In place of faith, hope, and promises, he will gladly weigh us down with fears, discouragement, and lies, and it often starts with some problem we encounter. He tries to pile his worries and fears and doubts so high that we can't see over them to the answers and solutions that Jesus has guaranteed us in his word. God has given us a Bible full of wonderful promises of deliverance, victory, overcoming, protection, healing, wisdom, success, and everything else we need to be happy and whole. These assurances are ours to claim, but our natural human minds tend to hold on to the things we can see and feel. We have difficulty trusting or believing in that which is unseen or unproven to our senses. God wants us to go beyond that. He wants us to trust him and believe he is able to work everything out for the best, even when things couldn't look worse. Another trick the devil often uses is this: we pray and ask God to help or change a situation, but the answer doesn't come immediately, or it's not the one we expected or wanted. The devil will try to seize this opportunity to get us to doubt. He will tell us that because God is allowing us to suffer, he is breaking his promises, therefore he must not love us or care about us. If we give in repeatedly to this train of thought, our faith becomes weaker and weaker. So it's important to learn to recognize these thoughts for what they are: lies from the devil, intended to drag you down, make you miserable, and rob you of your faith. So fight back and resist the devil by calling on Jesus to deliver you from the wiles of Satan. There's always going to be opposition from the forces of evil, but it's no match for God's power. "I give my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." John 10:28-29. "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." 1 John 3:8. We may lose a few battles, but we'll win the war. We're on the winning side, and cannot lose.